in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from Philemon, especially this part, verses 17 through 20. So if you consider me your partner, Paul writes to Philemon, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Dear friends in Christ. Paul's letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, his bondservant, his slave, is really a study in forgiveness and grace. It's this little section of the letter has so much of what we theologically term the gospel in the narrow sense. I mean, see, look at some of the phrases I just read. He says, charge that to my account. I will repay it. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord, and refresh my heart in Christ. Each one of these phrases is really so packed with meaning, they could be a sermon in and of themselves. It's an embarrassment of riches, if you will. In fact, I mean, this little letter, there's so much packed into here that it actually offers too much for me to consider today rather than too little. And even though it all bears treasures, today I've chosen that little bit that actually concludes the passage that I just read to you. Here Paul is standing in for Christ, and he observes, helpfully actually, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. What actually dawns on us as we're studying, as we're looking at this little letter, is that Paul is more than just himself in the letter. He's more than just Paul the Apostle. He's actually, in a way, embodying Christ in this shortest epistle. So that two people actually come together in Paul. First, Paul himself in his human nature, so to speak, his old man, or he actually talks about himself as an old man, as a prisoner, and those kind of things. And we see that Paul is embodying himself there. And second, he's a projection of Jesus, who, of course, actually applies to Philemon and the others the actual payment of Onesimus's debt, with all that this means for the situation at hand. In other words, this is all, where, as Jesus, he's saying, this payment that I will make to you, it's a payment for everybody, for all people, for all time. So Paul's paying off Onesimus' debt here, whatever it might have been. This, you know, we assume that he probably stole some money from his master's house in order to travel and stuff like that. We don't really know for sure. Whatever it was to Philemon here on earth, that one time in history, in that congregational setting, you notice it talks at the very beginning of this letter of the church that meets in Philemon's house. This church that's filled with saints and sinners, Paul's paying off Onesimus' death is like our Lord Jesus Christ paying off our sins to God the Father in heaven once for all time. Luther says it this way. He says, what Christ has done for us with God the Father, that St. Paul does for Onesimus with Philemon. For Christ emptied himself of his rights and overcame the Father with love and humility, so that the Father had to put away his wrath and rights and receive us into favor for the sake of Christ, who so earnestly advocates our cause and so heartily takes our part. And I love this line. for we are all his Onesimuses. We are all God's or Jesus's Onesimuses. Kind of amazing when you think about it from that point of view. See, Paul's payment of Onesimus's debts actually mirrors our Lord's atonement for us and for all sinners and for every sin on the cross forever and ever in heaven. That's what it mirrors here. This is, if you will, the gospel in Philemon. This is what we see here. And I'm convinced, really, that the reason the letter is included in the canon of Scripture is because of how it adheres to the Lord's atonement and how it mirrors and how it just shadows God's Jesus' atonement. Basically, the reason it's here is because it conforms so completely, so perfectly with the gospel. Basically, what I'm saying is this, is that Paul's paying of all of Onesimus' debts accrued while he was on the lam as a runaway slave, it corresponds to the way our Lord Jesus Christ paid for the world's sins. More than that, paid for your sins and for mine. By his all-availing death upon the cross and satisfying his Father's wrath by doing that on our behalf. And now, of course, we know that the Lord intercedes for you and me on a regular basis before the Father in heaven, the same way that Paul is interceding with Philemon for Onesimus, who had actually been brought back within the fold of the Christian church. And it's kind of an amazing thing that it also shows us not only that image of what Christ did for you and for me, but also how we ought to deal with one another in the church, how we ought to be interceding for one another. See, this isn't, of course, the only place where Paul pitches himself kind of as Christ Jesus in any of his epistles. He says in another one, he says, follow me in the same way that I follow Christ. He actually says, do this the way I'm doing it. Follow my example, Paul says in other places. But this insight into this kind of double nature of the Paul here helps us to understand the sort of the relation that Paul actually hoped could begin, that he wanted to begin to exist going forward between Philemon, Onesimus, and all the other saints and sinners. It's a relationship he wanted to foster even between us in this place, in this congregation, or at least that's what God has, why this, it's included in Scripture the way it is. You see, it's important to realize that Paul presents himself as manifesting Christ as he's engaging the problems. Those problems, whatever the problems that existed between Philemon and Onesimus, that he's manifesting Christ in this point, basically saying to them, hey, you know full well the other's old Adam. You know your failings because you've probably been pointing your failings to one another. There was obviously some kind of disagreement, some kind of problem, some issue between Onesimus and Philemon. He wasn't merely a runaway slave. Slaves, bond servants, back at that time, they were part of the household. It wasn't slavery as we would think a bit about it in the 1800s or 1700s in the United States. It's not that type of slavery. Many times they were captured in war. They were treated as part of the household. They were entrusted with many, many things. And many times a household servant would be freed when their debt was paid off. So here, Onesimus was a trusted member of the household. There had been some disagreement, and Onesimus just takes off. He's not supposed to do that. And apparently, he owed some kind of a debt to Philemon. Either he had stolen some money, or the debt that he had owed to him was not completely paid off. Apparently some disagreement, some argument, and they parted ways, and Onesimus takes off and he goes to Paul. So they knew each other well enough to know the failings of each other. We all know, can point out each other's failings in Christ. Or not in Christ, in our old Adam. We know our own failings too well, and we know other... somebody came to a pastor one time complaining about another parishioner, and the pastor says to them, listen, it's your job to confess your sins, not somebody else's. But Paul here is representing and presenting himself as manifesting Christ. This is how it is. This is the way I probably would put it, is that behind the change Onesimus stands Paul. And behind Paul stands Christ. Each personality lending stature to the one who stands before. So this, the relationship that Paul envisions between Philemon and Onesimus is basically, if you will, kind of triangular, with Paul himself playing Christ's part as the apex of that triangle, basically saying, you need to be reconciled. Forgiveness, love, care for one another in Christ. There has to be. And Paul sets himself as the, you know, the third person in that triangle, saying, listen, be reconciled to one another. Notice what he says in the scripture here, where he goes and he says, listen, yes, I'm taking care of this. I will pay his debts. I will do what is necessary. They're basically saying, you know, consider one another and consider that both of you are sinners. And consider more the fact that whatever debt there was, it's been paid. Now treat each other as brothers in Christ. He even goes a little bit further. He says, to say nothing of owing me even your own self. Paul's kind of saying, listen, you still owe me something. You're in debt to me. I'm not calling in that debt. What I'm reminding you of is that you need to have a little bit of understanding about. And then he goes on and says, yes, brother. I'm kind of calling in the debt here. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. The interesting thing here is Onesimus. Onesimus's name. The Greek word for benefits here, where I want some benefit in you from you in the Lord, is Onaimon. Yes, and that's where Onesimus's name comes from. Onesimus, he's basically, Paul's saying, I want to derive an Onesimus from you, a benefit from you and the Lord. I love how Paul makes a play on words. He says, the one who was useless to you has been very useful to me. Onesimus, who was useless, is now Onesimus, useful. In other words, Paul's prayer was that these two former combatants would genuinely forgive and reconcile with one another. So much so that he might actually be able to derive a benefit, an Onesimus, if you will, from Philemon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are members of the same body. Even in a congregation as loving and caring as this, sometimes we wear on one another. We, as Christians, wear on one another and grieve one another, especially the old Adam and the old Eve. But it's not coincidental that this letter from Paul is included in Scripture. See, God's actually created families. He's created congregations in such a way that whenever sin creeps in, as it always does, brothers and sisters in Christ, I always love it, you know, when you find, you know, that perfect church, that perfect congregation, Don't join it, because the moment you do, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Whenever sin creeps in, we can actually be brought to repentance and to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who forgives each and every one of us. And he's the one that gives us that prayer that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, let's face it. In that repentance, we can, in meekness, go to our brother or sister that we've hurt, and humbly plead for forgiveness. And then, rather than nursing grudges or lording it over another Christian, we can be done with the sin. We can be done with the bitterness, the aftermath of that sin. Indeed, how could we actually do anything else? Because that sin, those consequences, died with Christ on the cross. They've been drowned out in the waters of holy baptism with which we were all baptized. That's what's happened. It's what we pray daily and fervently. Forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, Paul's shortest letter actually still holds out the gift of repentance, of healing, to us struggling, argumentative Christians today. Because God loves each and every one of us and wants us to be one, yes. The lesson of Philemon is forgiveness, reconciliation, and repentance. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of